But I'd first like to introduce you now to a man you may not have heard too much about in Australia, but he is really coming into his political prime and earning himself considerable international respect because his basic day job is super tough. Dr. Salam Fayyad's official title is Prime Minister of the Palestinian National Authority. He's an independent member of the Palestinian Parliament. That is, he's neither from the Fatah or Hamas parties. And he comes to this post via an unusual route with an unusual suite of skills. He has a doctorate in economics from the University of Texas. He's worked for the World Bank and as a private banker, and some argue that even the Israelis are enchanted by him, and he certainly seems to be presiding over some much-wanted economic successes. Now he's started to throw down some googlies, though, as he tries to change the whole strategic discussion in this arena. He started talking about a 2-year program of change, after which he'll expect an independent state to be created in Palestine. And he wants to persuade the international community that if he runs a proper state, well, he can demand that Israel treat it as such. So how does the Prime Minister plan to do all this? Late last week, Dr. Fayyad took a little time off his extremely busy schedule to speak with us, and I was delighted to welcome him to Radio National listeners.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Now, you are known as someone who can get on very well with many in the Israeli political establishment. What do you think it is that makes the Israelis comfortable around you?
Well, as a matter of fact, I do not know if it's only the Israelis, but generally, really acting in conformity with plans that are pre-announced and explained well, and then getting on with it and implement them. Actually, that basically is how I started my career when I first joined the PA, Palestinian Authority, in mid-2002.
So what I've read is that they feel they can trust you and that you're a man of your word. And that you're interested in efficiency, which is, you know, the Israelis don't say that terribly often about people in the Palestinian territories.
Well, we are in a building phase, obviously. When this whole process began in the mid-90s or a little bit before that, it was clear, although it was not explicitly stated in the agreements, that the key deliverable of this process was going to be an independent, sovereign, viable Palestinian state. This, of course, requires building the institutions of the state. It was not going to happen overnight. Of course, the task was not made easy by the fact that the peace process, the negotiations, the political process, so to speak, did not fare too well. As you know, it was subject to a great deal of disruption. What we're really trying to do right now is to build on that which has already been accomplished, but do it within a limited time frame, time horizon, so to speak, because without it, it would not be a plan, clearly. This, by the way, getting the political process to produce the intended desired outcomes was supposed to happen in May of 1999. So we are already more than 10 years after that due date, so to speak, and or the interim phase of the agreement.
That was the Oslo Peace Accords.
Yes, that's what I'm referring to. And we felt it important to really get on with it and say first to ourselves and to the international community and all of our neighbors, including Israel, that, you know, this has to really come to an end. After all, this is about ending the occupation, enabling our people to enjoy that which is an absolute right for all peoples around the world, and that is to live as free people in a country of our own. It is time for that to happen. And, this is not in lieu of the political process, is not to substitute for the negotiations that have to take place, but actually to reinforce that process and impart credibility to it. And it is a call upon ourselves, first and foremost, to really do that, which is our main task.
But, you know, it's interesting, sorry to cut across you, but by what you're saying, it sounds as if you are saying there's an economic peace that can be achieved without necessarily achieving a political peace.
You know, this is a political conflict. The conflict that we're trying to resolve with the help of the international community is fundamentally a political conflict in nature, and therefore it is one that requires a political solution. There's no question about that. And it will not be settled until it is settled politically. This said, it was recognized from day one that the economic track of things was absolutely essential for the political track to move forward. But certainly, you know, it's not a substitute for it. There's a lot of work that has to happen on the institution and capacity building front, and also to try to bring about as much development as possible.
And are you getting Israeli money? I mean, who is financing your development? Because you've got 7% growth rate in the 12 months, I think, that just passed. Wages are up 24%. There's all sorts of new developments. There's a new city, Palestinian city, that could rise in the West Bank, you know, aim to be a modern city with good apartments and so on and so forth. Who's financing this?
Well, it's a combination of our own revenues. You know, we collect taxes, also, you know, substantial donor assistance from the international community. But, it's, you know, Israel is not included in that set. We do not receive money from Israel. What we receive through Israel is a portion of our revenues collected by Israeli government on behalf of Palestinian Authority.
See, what I think is interesting about you, if I may put it like this, is that you speak in this very pragmatic way about, in fact, you haven't even mentioned, really, you're not held up on the fact of the occupation. And a lot of Palestinian people I've interviewed, and I can understand it, that's what they mention first. You don't. Now, how have you flipped your mind around to a different approach?
You know, I see what everybody sees. I mean, the occupation is our biggest problem, and ending it is our biggest challenge. That said, you know, we need to do what needs to be done in order to bring that occupation to an end. That requires a lot of things. It definitely requires a political process that is credible enough to be bought into by our public, something that is markedly different from what has obtained over the past 16 years or so since Oslo. It also requires that we, you know, Palestinians get on with the task of state building, which is a key deliverable of the peace process or the negotiations process. It does require also help by the international community, and it also requires, last but not least for sure, it requires that the Israelis begin to act in a manner that's consistent with the need to end occupation, because absent that, unless Israel were to do it, then what we are trying to do here in earnest now, and something which we have announced late last month, would amount to basically making the occupation work better.
I think you've said
rather
this
than
is
ending
not,
it.
Yeah, you've said this is not about beautifying the occupation, it's about ending
yes.
it.
Yes.
Dr. Salam Fayyad is the Prime Minister of Palestine, is the Palestinian Authority, is my guest on Saturday Extra. So, you know, I see your strategy, which is, this is all happening under the international gaze, so that, in effect, you're going to say, well, if we've done our part, the Israelis have got to do their part, and yes. and there will be a moral pressure on the Israelis to do so. What are you aiming for? In how many years' time will you, in effect, require, if that's how you're thinking about it, the Israelis to sit down and conduct a negotiated settlement?
You know, we're looking for the negotiations to resume as soon as possible in order for them to produce the desired outcome, the intended outcome of this, which is to bring about an end of the occupation. That does have requirements, you know, as I have just mentioned. The political process has been, you know, going on for more than 16 years now, or thereabout, but without much success. Key reason for that, and you know, if you describe me as pragmatic in the way I approach things, it's because, you know, things have, there is a cause and effect associated with just about everything. A key reason for the failure of the process to produce what it should have produced a long time ago, more than 10 years ago actually, was that elements of success were not really given due consideration. This does have requirements. You know, when you have negotiations going on, but while at the same time, you know, actions continue to be taken in a manner that's inconsistent with what the substance of the process is about, that process is not going to be successful.
Mm.
I'm here in particular, you know, referring to the roadmap to peace, which is a key agreement, a key document, and an integral part of the framework for in terms of reference for the peace process. There are obligations both on the Palestinian side and the Israeli side, obligations that the sides entered into in the spring of 2003.
Yes.
For much of the period since then, unfortunately, those commitments were not respected, either by us or by the Israelis. Since mid-2007, however, we really got on with things and we started to implement our own obligations in earnest. However, to this day, Israel, unfortunately, has not lived up to any of its commitments under the roadmap, in particular with respect to settlement activity.
Which, and of course, there was those, I think just this past week, wasn't there? There was the agreement for certain, even more settlements to be built. But two questions, possibly final questions. Do you judge that there is a real shift in your own constituency within the Palestinians about a genuine acceptance of Israeli permanency, if I can put it like that? And secondly, what about your own people? Do they accept this shift? And I'm thinking of people in the Gaza as well. What's your relationship, would you see it, to the Gaza Strip? And whether they buy into this strategy that you're outlining?
I suspect they will. You know, we're in touch. Unfortunately, we are, you know, going through a great deal of difficulty on the domestic scene right now, and we have been for more than 2 years. This is something that has got to be fixed, by the way. Producing the Palestinian state does require what I referred to at the outset in terms of capacity building, institution building, economic development and all, but that state is not going to emerge until we fix our own domestic situation and restore unity of the country, because that state is going to emerge on the West Bank and Gaza, on the territories occupied in 1967. So, therefore...
Do you think that's going to happen, realistically?
You know, as a matter of fact, in an important way, I believe, you know, this initiative, this government program that we launched toward the end of last month, I believe is a unifying theme. Because Palestinians of all persuasions, you know, view this as a key goal, one that should be attained. Given that it is a unifying theme, I believe it should improve the environment for discussion or dialogue of those political issues where there are sharp differences of views. Now, this said, you know, it may not be possible to actually bridge all of the gaps insofar as the political orientation or disposition is concerned. Nevertheless, what I hope will happen, if there is not going to be consensus as to what the political platform for the Palestinian people is going to be, that there will at least be an agreement or common view as to how differences of view can be managed in a much better way than we have so far been able to demonstrate. Because I feel that, as a matter of fact, what has happened, the violent takeover of power by Hamas in Gaza in mid-2007 was a direct consequence of the state of lawlessness and failure on the part of the PA to assert its presence as an authority. These are issues that need to be dealt with for sure, but the call to building the Palestinian state and to shoulder that responsibility, you know, by us Palestinians, and to view it as first and foremost a Palestinian responsibility, is something that I believe, you know, could energize the Palestinian people, get them all focused on the need to really do this and unify our national effort.
Well, the world wishes you luck, Dr. Fayyad. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you, Jordan.
Dr. Salam Fayyad, the Prime Minister of the Palestinian National Authority. And just go to bitterlemons.org, that excellent blog that represents Palestinian and Israeli viewpoints. There, September the 11th edition. It's terrific, giving you all sorts of different views about this change in events.